Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and Happy New Year again to you all, and welcome back to another special live edition of Can We Talk Radio. I am your host, Raz Williams, bringing you Can We Talk once a week, every Friday from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Guys, if you have a question or comment, you can call us at 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Well, there are many symbolisms and occult references that stand out in the music culture today, from historical artifacts to the music artists today ranging from Jay-Z, Kanye West, Lady Gaga, Nicki Minaj, Lil Wayne, Marilyn Manson, the list goes on. It seems the occult world has never really gone away, but in fact has become more flagrant and blatant. The problem is that many people who are the consumers of this music, which include many professed believers of Jesus Christ, are unaware of the meanings behind what many consider to be just artistic entertainment that appeals to the senses with no hidden real meaning or agendas behind them. There are many artists that promote their music through occult influences. Why is this? What is the payoff? Guys, tune in tonight as we go ahead and discuss this topic in real detail. We have some powerful people on the show tonight, and I want to go ahead and introduce them, and that is Nikki. Nikki's in the building. How you doing, Nikki?
Hey, Raz, how you doing?
Man, I'm doing good. I didn't think the show was going to go ahead because, of course, the enemy was attacking the show, and for some reason the controls were going kind of haywire, and but, you know, God got us through, so praise God. Nikki, what do you think today's topic? Okay, we lost you, Nikki. Okay, next in line, I'm going to go ahead and introduce back to Can We Talk, Minister Kristen. Kristen, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Awesome. Kristen, you had a good week?
Yeah, my week was really good. Yeah, just a busy, busy week, but it was really well. Went really well.
All right, that's awesome. And Kristen, what's your comment on tonight's topic?
I think that it's definitely something that needs to be discussed in thorough detail. I think that it's not discussed in definitely for the attributes of what you're going to be talking about tonight. So I think it needs to be exposed, not just to inform from one view, but for people to really begin to see how it begins to shape our mindset about things.
Okay, absolutely. That's a good point. Next in the line, we have Pam. Welcome back to Can We Talk. Pam, how you doing?
Hey, Raz. I'm doing just fine. All is well. Have a blessed week.
All right. Okay, Pam, you and I have had many conversations about this topic, and what is your take on tonight's topic?
Well, I think the topic is a good topic, and I hope a lot of people will tune in, and I really hope that, you know, this will be a topic that we'll be able to reach a lot of young folks, because they don't know the seriousness of what's being programmed into their minds every time they turn on the television and every time they take in certain things of the world, you know, as far as television, music, and stuff like that. And I really think this is a great topic. And it needs to be words. It needs to be, you know, it needs to reach a lot of people, mm-hmm. especially from what we've learned and experienced through what Craig Lewis has been teaching us. I mean, it's historical information that really does a lot of people out there and help them to, you know, really look into this thing a little bit more seriously.
Absolutely. Well, next we have Ronnie back in on Can We Talk One. How you doing, sir?
I'm all right. How you doing, Raz?
Pretty good. Ronnie, again, we've had a lot of conversations about this. I know this is one of your favorite topics, and what's your take on tonight's topic, Ronnie?
Well, you know, I think it's something that needs to be brought to light, and it's pretty much relevant to everybody, whether you believe in God or not. And, you know, I just look forward to this to be informative, you know, for those listening and, you know, for myself as well. So I'm excited about it.
Absolutely. And I think we lost Nikki, but Nikki, I know you're back now. Nikki, I didn't ask you what you thought of today's topic.
Of course, I think it's an interesting topic. Me being involved in the music industry for a little bit of time, I mean, I do have a little bit of insight on the topic. So I think it's an interesting topic.
Absolutely. Now, Nikki, how long have you been involved in the music industry?
Oh, I've probably been involved in the industry for a little bit over 10 years. Out of it for a little bit more than, I'd say, 8.
Okay. And have you, being in the industry for that long, have you experienced what we're going to be talking about tonight?
I've definitely run across a lot of this stuff in the industry, yep.
Absolutely. Well, guys, it's time for the news. But before we do that, guys, if you have a question or a comment, if those of you who are interested in this particular topic and want to, you know, call in and share your experiences or share your information, you can reach us at 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Well, it's usually time for the news, but I wanted to just pass around if anyone has anything interesting to talk about as far as anything they picked up in the news this week. And Ronnie, do you anything that kind of picked your interest this week in the news?
Well, not really. Hello?
I'm sorry, go ahead, Ronnie.
No, I said I don't.
Okay. How about you, Nikki?
Actually, what I ran across in the news, I didn't get to follow it in thorough detail, but it was talking about this young lady and her boyfriend. I think she was about the age of 22, and her boyfriend was about 20 or 21, and they had, back in April, she had a son that was about 18 months old, and for whatever reason, I guess that her having a child by another man and she was with this other guy, it was posing a problem on their relationship or whatever, and she just became very abusive to the baby. And one particular day, both the mother and her boyfriend beat the baby to death and left the baby on the bathroom floor overnight, and then stuffed him in the backpack the next day and went and dumped his body in the river. And then what they tried to do was say that the baby had been abducted and everything like that. But they are getting ready to stand trial for murder. So, I mean, that was something that caught my attention, considering that it has been kind of like a decrease in teen parenting, but in certain areas, it has become very prevalent. And while teen parenting has been going on, you know, since the beginning of time, I think it's something that we need to pay attention to, because you have situations like this, you know, when these kids, they aren't mentally and emotionally mature enough to handle the responsibility, and a lot of them, like in this situation, a lot of them, once the baby becomes a nuisance, then the baby is abused, or, you know, the baby is put in the system, and, you know, then it's just like a whole revolving circle of poverty, misuse. And when a child most times is brought up in situations that way, then not all the time, but most times, when they go out into society, then now you're breeding crime, you know, because of so many other things that they feel, rejection, hatred, you know, unlove, you know, all that. So I just thought that was something that caught my attention a few days ago, and that was just something that I wanted to share. So I'll pass it around the panel and see what you guys think about that topic. Raz, I'm going to give it to you. What did you think about that article?
You know what, Nikki, I got to be honest with you. You were kind of my line was kind of going in and out, so I didn't really catch the full part of the article.
It was basically about this this young couple. It was the mother's baby, and she basically the baby became a problem to the relationship. So they beat the baby to death. The baby was a year and a half old. Beat the baby to death and dumped the body in the river. And I was saying that, you know, while teen parenting has been something that's prevalent since the beginning of time, you know, I think we need to pay attention to it and, you know, figure out how we could help, basically, and mentor these young people, whether it's men, you know, young men or young women, because all that happens is these kids go into the system if they aren't killed, and then when they, you know, grow up and become a citizen, then they begin to start breeding crime. So I was saying, what did you think about, you know, what was your take on what that article was about?
Well, that's definitely sad. I mean, doesn't the fire department have like a drop off where if you don't want your child, you can drop them off? I mean, murder is like, man, that's crazy. And you know, my heart goes out to the baby. I'm sure that baby's with the Lord. But most importantly, for the parents, I mean, for to murder your child, that's just terrible. I just think that a lot more should be done to really, you know, for those people who are in those kind of predicaments where they do not want the child, that they need to, you know, find a home, or, you know, like the fire department. I noticed that they had signs up saying that if you don't want your baby, you can drop it off, you know, and I think you can do the same thing at a hospital too, if I'm not mistaken. I know that's your expertise, so maybe you could shed some light on that.
Yeah, I do. My organization does work with teen moms, and it is to empower the young women, because a lot of times they feel like they become overwhelmed and, you know, and burdened down. And so my organization is to, you know, help them get to that next level in life, because I was a teen mom. Pam, what do you? You're a mom. What do you think about the article?
Well, you know, I think the generations are really changing, Nikki, and it's totally different from the way we were when we raised our kids. I think, you know, back in the day, parents, I mean, even when they were marrying younger and having babies younger, they seemed to be more responsible. And even you and I, you know, can look back and see where we had more, we were more mature. And you're right. Now the children that are coming up now, they do need role models. They do need mentoring. They're having babies, and they don't have any sense of love or concern for these children. And murder is becoming so popular now. It's sad to say, but it's becoming one of the most popular things. It seems like this story that you're saying, I've heard several other stories where women have murdered their babies, and they have no sense of you know, guilt for it. It's just like it's hard to comprehend at this day and age how people can just take their children and do away with them and don't have no feeling about it.
Right.
And it's the strangest thing, you know. One other case, there was a lady, she had murdered her little kid and then had her siblings help her actually take the baby and put it in a garbage can and start to set the garbage can on fire to kill the baby and discard of the baby's body. And how do you expose? It's one thing to murder your child, but how do you expose your other siblings who are alive and a little bit older to help to get rid of the baby's body? I just can't fathom it. And so, you know, something, that's why I really truly believe God has really got to come back soon, because it's people's hearts are waxing colder and colder. There's no remorse. I mean, evil is everywhere. And it is just, is, you know, we can do what we can to try to, you know, help young people, you know, and we don't even have to know them, just reaching out to them when we see the need. But, you know, they need help. And a lot of times you got to look at their mind and what they've been exposed to. And a lot of times some of the stuff that they've been exposed to is so deep, it is something that's not going to happen overnight.
Right, right. That's exactly right. What about you, Ronnie? What did you think about? What was your take on the article, or did you have any comment about it?
No, well, you know, my take on it is, first off, it's sad, and I can't be angry at the parents because they're supposed to be responsible, but without the right foundation, I can't even expect you to be responsible. And so, you know, it just shows that the days are evil, as the Bible says. And, you know, I'm going to say this, that there was an effective witnessing program in their area. This might have been, we might have been able to intercept this, and somebody might have been able to minister to them. And so, you know, this is another, I would have to take this tragedy as more reason to be a witness, because I'm sure if somebody, there's probably a believer on their block and in their neighborhood, that if they would have just took a little more time out into doing what we're called to do as believers, go be a witness, go let your light shine in front of men so that they can come to know the Father, this might have been avoided, because we have the power of God. So there's no situation that God can't trump. And so, you know, I just pray that this could have been anybody's neighborhood that this happened in. And so if you're a believer, you know, let this story you know, put some fire under you to be a witness, because people are starving, and they're doing things like killing their children. So, you know, we have a responsibility as believers to open your mouth and share this gospel and be a witness, and let God use you to keep these sort of things from happening.
Right, right. And what about you, Kristen? Did you have any take on the article or a comment?
Yeah, I actually did get a chance to read the article. I think the main thing that kept sticking with me was the fact that after they had done what they'd done, they realized that the baby, in fact, was alive, even though they had beat, you know, the mess out of the baby. They both were a part of it. What was sad was that even though they both were a part of it, they both tried to blame each other after
right?
the fact. They tried to say, well, you know, put the hand on the baby, and he always beat the baby with hangers. And it just was really sad that neither one of them wanted to own the fact that you killed a child, you know, and that even still, we can understand that definitely raising a child, I'm not a mother, but raising a child either way, I was raised by a single parent, is no joke. It takes a lot of mental capacity as well, energy and all of those things. But the fact, again, what I'm seeing in this generation that is disheartening is the fact no one wants to be accountable. You know, you messed up, but yet and still you're trying to find someone to blame. other than yourselves. And so it kind of brought to my mind also, I don't know if you guys heard about the story recently where the man tried to walk on water, the pastor in front of everyone, and he drowned in front of everybody, you know. And kind of like Ronnie was saying, it's important that we really, really bear witness to the truth and be able to tell people that God is, in fact, real, and you need to be accountable to what you've read, what you know for yourself, and it's important that we know the word of God for ourselves. So I don't know if you guys heard about that story. Did anyone hear about that one?
I didn't hear about that one.
Yeah, he tried to walk on water, and he drowned in front of everyone.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just stuff like that with the kids and people trying to prove, you know, but no one wants to be, again, accountable. And it's like, it's just really disheartening to hear.
Definitely. I want to read an article. This is out of the United Kingdom. It says, the UK seeks to ban evangelism in public schools. And it says, Christian groups in England are being told to stop evangelizing children in government-run schools. In a new report, the National Secular Society, the NSS, said that Christian groups regularly use their access to public schools to preach the gospel to pupils and contended that the Department of Education needs to step in to stop them. Stephen Evans of the NSS campaigns manager asserted that Britain is a secular society and that educational establishments need to take it seriously. Given the diminishing interest in religious observance amongst young people and their parents, it is easy to see why evangelical groups are so keen to access schools, he stated. The presence of such groups undermines the rights of parents who rightly expect a state education for their children that does not run counter to their own religious and philosophical convictions. The president of the NSS, Terry Sanderson, added that Christians had a captive audience in schools. The target involved schools in this way by such dubious organizations must be tackled by the Department for Education. And most parents have absolutely no idea that such groups are present in their children's schools until the child comes home and starts repeating messages that they've been given. So I want to pass it around to the panel and see what your thoughts are. I'll start with you, Ronnie.
Well, you know, personally, I think it's awesome that people are making the effort to be a witness at school because no matter how some people want to play children like, oh, you know, things go over their head and they don't know anything, they're under assault all day by the enemy with the smartphones where they can just pull up porn anytime, with, you know, just the entertainers that they follow that are promoting sex. And so, you know, I'm glad that they're being witnessed to for good at a young age. And, you know, like I said, the days are evil, so it's no surprise that the atheist groups, under whatever disguise, are trying to, you know, stop the believers from doing what they're doing. But we know that no weapon formed against us will prosper. So I just, you know, I'm going to keep those people in prayer and pray that they continue to go against the devil by teaching the gospel to these children, because the Bible says teach a child in the way that he must go, and then when he's older, you know, he won't depart from it, meaning he'll have something to click in his mind before he does something, you know, that might cost him his soul. And so, you know, I applaud them, and, you know, I just want to suggest that we all keep them in prayer, because it's not impossible for God to overturn any court ruling. So I'm all for them.
Absolutely. And Pam, what are your comments about the article?
Yeah, I mean, the boldness that they have, I mean, it takes bravery and boldness and, you know, knowing you have the power of God working in your life to take a stand nowadays, because, you know, people are being ostracized or being persecuted, you know, in so many different ways. And, you know, for them to step out on boldness like that, I have to commend them. And Ronnie's right, we should pray for them, because I think the enemy, one of the things he doesn't like, he fears, is prayer, the power of prayer, you know. And as long as no one's praying or doing anything, then he's going to continue to, you know, to persecute and tear down and try to destroy lives. But when people come together and pray and get about God's business with that kind of boldness, then things can change.
Definitely. Nick, if you have any comments about that article?
No, I don't. I mean, Pam and Ronnie knocked it out of the park, so I don't have nothing extra to comment on.
All right. Real quick, guys, though, my last article for today is this, is the government wants to start tracking every mile you drive with a black box and tax you for it. And this is a controversial.
Hello.
I think he could. I think it went out on him.
Yeah, I think we're asking. Does anybody have any other topics?
No. It sounded like he was coming up with a real good one right there.
Yeah, it did.
Because you know,
and
I think
they're pretty black.
Hello? Go ahead, Pam. What were you saying?
No, from what I heard, a little bit that I heard him say, if that's the case, then they're probably already doing it in brand new cars. If you buy a new car right now, it's going to have some type of tracking device on it already.
Yeah, I believe that.
I'm sure that's already happening. You know, it's almost technology.
Right.
They are in a way to keep track of everybody and everything moving.
Well, it just sounds like to me it just has a lot to do with that, you know, with everything else that's going on with the breach of security and the quote-unquote Big Brother. I mean, they're tracking everything.
Yeah.
You know, I even heard the other day that his website, a lot of his stuff is being blocked. And you know, people like that have a lot of information to share with the public about the government and the New World Order and all this stuff. The government is keeping close eye, you know, watch on these people. And, you know, these people are putting their lives out there on the line to keep us informed. So, you know, for these tracking devices, this is nothing for them. I mean, with Obamacare and everything, they're looking for ways to know how to trace and track everybody.
Definitely. Yeah, but we see the rise of, like, us becoming a police state, and they're trying, you know, a lot of things we fall for is because they seem convenient in the beginning, but then, you know, and they end up being a way to keep tabs on you in a free, so-called free society. And so, you know, unfortunately, the majority will love it. Like, hey, yeah, you know, it's good to track my miles so I can know this, that, and the other. When I go to the dealership, you know, my miles are already logged in. When I need to do my oil change, you know, it'll probably help you remember it's time to change the oil. But you're giving up your privacy. And so just like with your cell phone, the calls that you thought were dropped or the text messages that you thought were deleted, you know, they can go to Sprint or whoever and pull up your whole time, you know, connected to them. And so it's just, you know, showing us that the stage is being set for this to be, you know, a policed state and then pretty much a global one world thing. So, you know, data's being picked up on us. And I'm not saying be all scared of your Facebook and all that, but you got to see, why would it be free to use their platform? Because what you give them for in return to be connected on the Facebooks and social media is data. This is what the government would call intelligence. And so that they, you know, we're giving it to them for free. So I'm not saying just it has no use, but be aware that, you know, there's some girls I can walk up to and ask them for their name and the city that they live in. They won't give it to me, but you'll give it to Facebook to put across the whole world. And so, you know, every time you take a picture of your plate and then you tag it with the location, you know, you're giving yourself up left and right. And so it's being put on us subtly. But, yeah, it's the police state, one world monitored government type thing.
Absolutely. Guys, I'm back. I apologize. I had some more technical difficulties, but I'm back. But yeah, you guys pretty much hit the nail on the head right there. The whole ruse for this whole legislation they want to pass is they're saying that because of economy, fuel efficient cars, the taxes at the gas pump is no longer working. So what they want to do is the black box, and that black box will actually tell them the miles that you're doing each year, and they'll tax you based on the miles that you do each year. So for people like me who have their own business who do a lot of driving, guess what? I'm going to be taxed heavily. So that's their plan. And, again, I think, Ronnie, you mentioned that it's nothing but pretty much a clever, you know, excuse to introduce more control, more policing, more of a big brother state. So anyone else want to say anything about this article?
It kind of, if you think about it, if you really think deeply about it, you can tell how with the subtle things that they're doing, and it's really not even just subtle. People are just so focused and occupied and on other things to where they just fall right in line with what's going on. But it's doing nothing but preparing people for, you know, the mark of the beast. They give us all these reasons as to why the smartphone, as to why you should have GPS on your vehicle, you know, just like with the Mark of the Beast. They're going to have all these good reasons as to why it's convenient. And so it's just like, you know, just hitting us little by little, you know, and just getting you prepared to just fall right in line with that.
And add to that, there actually is a town in Corona that has already done a test trial of that. They do not accept cash. You swipe your hand.
Wow.
There is a store in San Francisco already that has adopted when you come up to the register. It's not your hand yet, but you swipe this card and just like beep it against it. You know, kind of you do at the gas station, and it has all of your information there. It has all your banking information, everything. And people think have coined it as being really convenient for you to have all of your information there, and you do not have to, once it's introduced in the computer at the store, you don't have to carry your card any longer.
Wow.
So Nikki is correct. It's already started, but it's coming in ways of them thinking, making it look as though it's more of a convenience thing that you don't have to worry, you know.
Because
I'm
that's
sorry,
the
ahead,
thing
Nikki.
With this. I'm sorry, Kristen, to cut you off. I thought you were finished with your comment. But that's the thing with this day and age is that we want everything fast and we want everything convenient. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's the easiest way to get it. Oh, well, you know, you just put this little chip, you know, right here up under your skin. And as long as you got money in the bank, you know, you just walk right on up and just beep, you know, and your stuff is paid for and it's taken care of. Or, you know, we will make it even better. You just walk right on up and beep and we'll have it delivered to your house. You know, anything
yep.
convenient, the more convenient it is, the more we're going for it.
And I was going to say that one thing that we should add to that is also it's a propaganda for the enemy to make us afraid, because how they sell us is the fact that it'll prevent, you know, things from going wrong as far as someone taking your credit card, from getting your information. They really propagate fear, you know, and, you know, God tells us to fear not, but unfortunately how hospitals make millions is off of fear. You know, the fear of you staying sick, the fear of someone losing their credit card now has caused Corona, a town in Corona, to be able to swipe your hand.
Guys, it's time to move on to the show. And, guys, if you're tuning in for the first time, the title of today's show is titled The Increase of Satanism in the Music Industry. Guys, the number to call us is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. The spirit behind most secular music is satanic. Satan knows the power behind music because the Bible says that before Satan, or Lucifer, as he was then called, fell, he was one of God's ministering angels, and in him was music which was for ministration unto the Almighty God. And that can be found in Ezekiel chapter 29, verse 13 through 15. But iniquity was found in him, Lucifer, because he wanted to rise above the Almighty God. So God kicked him out of heaven. Now, many artists have admitted to selling their souls to Satan for fame and fortune, and many artists have also admitted themselves to channeling or being a conduit for evil spirits to create or perform their music. Remember, these are artists that saying that themselves these are artists that are saying this themselves, and the people around them who are in their corner saying the same thing, that they feel that they're possessed or they feel like they're being channeled through music. So one of the artists that I had did some research on was an artist by the name of Tori Amos. And this is an American pianist and a singer and a songwriter and a composer. And she quoted that, "I think music comes through dimensions. It's arrogant to think you can create music on your own. There's a co-creation going on. I don't know with whom, but there is this well that we all tap into." She once said, "I wanted to marry Lucifer. I don't consider Lucifer an evil force. I feel his presence with his music. I feel like he comes and sits on my piano." She even made a song dedicated to Lucifer in the following performance, that she gets, you know, really downright and freaky. So, guys, look, music is one of the greatest weapons used by Lucifer to contaminate and destroy. That is why music is a weapon he uses to get to man, because he has been there and before time and knows that music can do. He knows what music can pretty much do to man. It's evident that Lucifer is a copycat, or Satan's a copycat, because music first started with God. But what he does, he takes music and perverts it. So I want to ask this question to Ronnie. Ronnie, you and I were having a conversation, I think it was on Sunday, and we talked about how artists are pretty much mediums,
right,
that channel music. Can you can you explain that to the audience?
Okay. Well, when we were talking, the point I was trying to make is that, okay, when you're dealing with music, you're dealing with something that can enter your subconscious without permission. That's why we remember songs that we don't even like. That's how most of us learn our ABCs. And if you're going through your ABCs till today, you're singing them to yourself because it's the melody that taught you. And so the thing, like you were saying, music, let's look at music a little closer, that music was also used in ancient times, not how we use it today, but like the Egyptians used to use it to cure. They said there was a philosophy where tones and melodies they would use to cure a human soul, like we use medicine to cure a cold today. And so even like during Buddhist ceremonies, they chime a little chime to induce relaxation, meaning tones and music, they have an influence over your mind and stuff like that. But the thing about the artist, no matter if it's rap, rock, classical, dance, drawing, the artist's mind is more sensitive to spiritual things. And so that's why you have a lot of artists in our time, just in our time, let's say from the 30s to now, that the artist is always tormented because they're always wrestling. Marvin Gaye. Just look at these people's stories and you'll see that these people live tormented lives, but their music is beautiful. It's because they're sensitive to spiritual things, and whether they were being used to channel spirits or you know, forces, they don't know. They just drank and smoked themselves and, you know, inject themselves to death. Janis Joplin, Nirvana, what's his name? Kurt Cobain. You listen to the lyrics of some of the people, they're tormented because they're dealing with something that's beyond the five senses. And they can't explain it. We don't learn about these things in school, but we hear about clairvoyance. Whoever's listening, go look these things up. Clairvoyance, we hear about ESP, extrasensory perception. And this is a clinical explanation for spiritual and supernatural things. And so your artist is probably wired in their brain to be more sensitive, that where instead of you're rapping and you have fame, you were probably supposed to be a prophet, prophesying God's word, or a watchman warning God's people. But the devil is taking you over because he showed you his power on earth, as far as, look, I control riches, I control this, I control that, and I'll give it to you if you just allow me to use your clairvoyance or use what God made you to be for my purpose. And so that's why I don't really fault the artists, because none of them know what's going on, and a lot of churches aren't dealing with this. And so once you get into the industry and they give you a handler and you get around other people with the same abilities as you, then you become comfortable. But, you know, at the cost of you know, serving the enemy's purpose. And so, yeah, a lot of these artists are just mediums. That's why they grab them young. And they're extraordinary or supernatural as far as their abilities and talents. But they're being misguided.
Definitely. Well, that leads me to my next question is, why does Lucifer, the devil, love music so much? Why is that such a powerful tool for his under his arsenal? And I was reading the book of Samuel where God rejected Saul from being king because of his persistence to disobedience. And that was documented in 1 Samuel chapter 16 in verse 14. But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And verse 23 says that it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, then David took a harp and played with his hands. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. So the above scripture documents that music, when it's played by a God-anointed worshiper such as David, evil spirits depart from that person, and that person is revived. And so on the flip side, what happens when music is used by a Luciferian or satanic worshiper, music is then used to invoke demons onto people, to be inserted into people. Nikki, what's your comment on that?
Well, that's absolutely right, because the music, it surpasses the subconscious. And the thing is that it's basically what Ronnie was talking about. Music is something to where we use to learn, to communicate. And so, therefore, in the industry, well, you know of him, and so does Ronnie, you know, and this brother talked about it so deep, G. Craig Lewis. And what it is that we just take music for granted. We just think it's music. Oh, you know, the beat, the, you know, but a lot of times, most times, especially in secular music, and there's some gospel music, quote unquote, well, let me not say gospel, Christian music, that has the same thing going on behind it, to where there are witches and warlocks that are praying over this music and to make it be successful, to have a certain effect on the listener, for you basically, for lack of a better term, to be addicted to the rhythm, to the artist. I mean, because if you listen to music today, and I think most of us are probably over 25 on the panel, you listen to music today versus listening to music, you know, back in the day, it's like, okay, for real, where's the talent at? Like, what is this nonsense that they're talking about? But if you look at the kids are so into it. Like, they can't get enough of it. And it's like, if you pay attention to it, look at how the kids are. They listen to the music that they listen to, pay attention to the music that they listen to the artist that they're attached to, and then look at their outer demeanor. They're tattooing themselves all on their faces. They're piercing everything. And then you look at the artist that they're so addicted to, spellbound behind, and that artist is the same way. Well, the heart of the author is in the music. And that's why, like, even in churches, when you see a homosexual choir director, you're going to see a lot of homosexual people in the church, because that spirit is going, or you're going to see a bunch of lust, or you're going to see people sleeping with people that they shouldn't be, because that spirit has gone out. And it's like people just think, hey, the music is nothing, but it actually does have an effect on the listener. It actually does. If you listen to praise and worship music, it affects you. It lifts your spirit. But if you listen to some love songs, that's going to affect you too. So it's like people have to wake up and understand. But people need to do research on the music that they listen to the artist that they listen to, to the producer who's producing the music. So that's my comment.
Real quick, I want to get to some callers real quick. I see a few callers. I got to see a caller, 310-800, area code. Hello, caller, where are you calling from? Do you have a question or comment?
My name is Anna. I'm actually Pam's daughter, and I'm calling from Pasadena. Just to comment on what you were saying about the scripture in 1 Samuel, like, I think it's very valid to realize that the way God created certain things, I think music, and this goes hand-in-hand with him creating us in his image and us just having certain feelings and emotions and just innate ideas and stuff like that. I think music was something that he put in the atmosphere and put in us to have and used it, and it's a powerful thing in itself, just looking at it from the good side, not just Satan. So here you have that part of however he created everything, and this is something that he created, and it was good. And so there's power on that. So then you have Satan, who is part of that heavenly host. You know, of course he's going to have, of course he's going to try to use that for his territory and his purpose or whatever, because when you think of things that are just melodic and just the influence that music has, good or bad, it's just, it seems like it's the most powerful thing more than anything. Like, for some reason, I don't know, it's just powerful over anything. And it's funny that this is the topic today because I'm 24, and me and my friend was talking about this today. Like, she called me. She lives in Atlanta, and she called me like, Anna, have you heard that song, Beyonce's new song? I think it's called Drunk Love. And I was like, oh, my God, I already know what you're about to say. And we were just going into the fact that these songs, the spiritual, you know, and she's a Christian, she's godly, and so she understands, you know, the spiritual side of music and stuff like that. And it was just overwhelming us talking about it, because before she even brought it up, I had the similar experience of when I first heard the song. And me being a young person, I can say firsthand that this music is so spiritually attacking. For me personally, just listening to that song that she came out with, you can tell even when you watch the music video and when you look at Beyonce and what she's doing and trying to be seducing, and you could tell that the spirits are on her music and just controlling it. And you could tell she's just going deeper and deeper into whatever, you know, the whole Illuminati thing. She's just going deeper and deeper. And that music is effective on the mindset, because there was, you know, a time where when I lived in Atlanta, I wasn't safe, and I was going to clubs and stuff, and the music is a big part of your lifestyle. It kind of leads you into how you act or how you party or how you do certain things. And so when I got saved, you know, gospel music is the greatest thing to have, because, you know, I feel like God is leading me into music ministry, and I'm realizing how the way that I get into praise and worship, I have to have gospel music. I have to have, you know, songs like Break Every Chain, because it's so powerful. But, you know, one day a couple months back, I went to Atlanta and I visited her. And I'm telling you, it broke my spirit being there. Here I am saved, and I go back and visit Atlanta, and I'm hanging out with her and stuff, but the music on the radio was playing over and over again. It's like Wale, the song that he came out with called Bad. And it was just constantly in my conscience, the song that kept playing over and over again. And I'm telling you, it broke my spirit down. It had me honestly feeling like I wanted to go back into the world. The music, it was so sad. The music, and when I came back home, I had to get girded up again. I had to, like, praise God, read the Bible, pray. I had to do all this stuff because emotionally I was just feeling attacked, like, oh, my God, and it was all because of this music. It makes you just think of all these different things that are not godly, and it's really sad. So I think as much as we talk about the bad music, we got to talk about how it's important for us to really just listen to gospel a lot, because I know for me, I have to, otherwise I'll listen to other music, and it's just, it's a spiritual attack.
Right, it's very common, Anna. And Anna, you also in the you also an artist. You are a vocalist, and so do you have any common projects you're working on right now?
Right now, I've kind of put it on hold. I write songs here and there, and to be honest, some of them are gospel songs, and some of them are just love songs. They're not degrading or any. They're not worldly songs. They're just basically positive love songs. But I feel like even though I may try to pursue it at times, I feel like God wants me on a certain level in the future. And so I feel like he's holding certain things back or opportunities back for me because I feel like in my heart, ultimately, he wants me in the ministry and he's getting me ready for that. And just working on me as a Christian woman, you know, like, and so, because I've been pursuing music for a long time, and there's been opportunities for me to do certain things with certain artists that were, you know, worldly, and for some reason, I feel like God has held me back from certain things, and experiencing certain things, and seeing certain things in the music, and for his purpose. So I'm not rushing it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just waiting to see what he has for me because, you know, you know, Raz, coming over here, we had all prayed. And I felt like everyone had their own, we were praying for just certain things that we felt we needed to pray for. And as I was sitting there, I was crying, but I wasn't led to pray like everyone else. I was led to play music or to sing in the way that I was worshiping, and I feel like God is using me for that. So I wouldn't want to push myself into doing some music or getting an opportunity or a record deal or something with someone, and that's not even my purpose when I'm probably supposed to be in someone's church ministering. So I'm pursuing it, but not much.
Absolutely. Well, Anna, thanks for your comment. Really appreciate that. I'm going to get to this next caller. And this is a caller from the 213 area code. Hello, caller. Where are you calling from? Do you have a question or comment? Hello, caller from the 213 area code. All right. I guess they just want to listen in. Pam, what do you think about your daughter's comment?
Well, she's more educated on it now since she's come, you know, to realize how serious the industry is. I know for a fact that she's very talented and she can write. She definitely has to get to write. And I really appreciate what God's doing with her because, you know, she clearly got pulled out into the industry along with some of the other people that she knows and that are in it. And they're totally deceived. They don't realize, you know, that their soul is on the line. So, you know, what we must do is discern. We have to know how to discern and not give place for the enemy to infiltrate into our thoughts and our behavior, because one of the things we know is that Satan tries to seduce us, to seduce our senses in order to gain control over us, okay? And one of Satan's stratagems of war is to incapacitate our spiritual growth. And one of the ways that he's doing it through is through the music, okay? So, you know, he knows. I mean, when he can debilitate the mind of a person, he knows he can cripple them. And when he can cripple your mind through seduction of music and stuff like that, because the mind and the flesh are both associated with your thoughts and your behavior. So he knows once lust is conceived into our mind, then it wants to be fulfilled in our body. And that's how he's getting a lot of young people, is through seduction and, you know, seducing spirits, and that's why music is so powerful, because we all know from a spiritual perspective how powerful it is, how closer it brings us to God. And so we listen to the wrong type of music, it's going to pull us away from God and pull us closer into his realm. And a lot of the artists are opening themselves up to satanic their entertainment. A lot of them do know it. They do realize it, and they don't understand the danger of it, because they feel like, you know, the fame, the fortune, the money, and all that is going to make them happy. But they don't understand that in the end that their soul is going to be, you know, they're giving their soul over to Satan, which is going to just be cast into the lake of fire in the end. They don't believe that. He's got them so deceived and so twisted in their mind that they don't even understand the seriousness of it. And for the young people now to hear the music, it is very seducing. And those of us that are spiritually strong, we know when we need to turn something off. We know when we're not supposed to engage and listen to certain things, because we know our spirit is like a radar goes off, and you know, wait a minute, okay, that's enough, you know, turn this off. But the young people, they don't have a clue. Even some of the older people who are in their 50s and 60s who have been involved in music, they grew up in listening to music all their life. I remember listening to music growing up with my parents, the music that came up in the 60s and the 70s, and, you know, I remember a lot of the old school music, and it wasn't as blatant as it is now. I mean, little kids could be in the backseat of the car. We didn't know what they were talking about. We just, you know, we remember the melody, and like Ronnie was saying, we listen, you know, you learn music just by listening to it over and over. But a lot of the stuff that they were talking about wasn't so plain and straightforward. You know, the music that they're singing now, it's not even music for the soul. It's just, they're just saying a whole bunch of words to some crazy beats. And basically it's pre-programming these kids to go and sin, to sin against their bodies and to sin against God. And it's brainwashing them, and that's what Satan is doing. He's incapacitating the spiritual growth of most people because they're so full of the worldliness. You know, they're being pulled into to live more worldly than they are God-fearing. And, you know, with my daughter, I just appreciate that she can see the difference now. She understands it. I mean, Craig Lewis has enlightened her so much. I mean, just listening to one CD, it just changed her whole perspective on music. So even though she has the gift and the talent to pursue it, she also has the spiritual sense now to know not to let anybody deceive her in pulling her, sucking her into it, which is a blessing. Because a lot of kids and a lot of people don't see that. They're just gung-ho about it, and they don't see the danger of it. And I really feel bad for Beyonce. I feel it's sad. It's really sad to see people that are so talented, you know, take their gift and they allow Satan to deceive them with it. And we all know Satan had power in heaven at one point with the music. I mean, he was one of the main ones that ushered in the praise and worship. He's the one that, he's like the choir director in heaven at one time. I mean, he had pipes and instruments, and he had all the stones, the beautiful stones. You know, he was one of the most beautiful angels. So, you know, he was given these certain gifts, and now he's using them to deceive men and women to drag them into hell with him. And that's sad. People are so blinded by what he's doing, they don't see it. And when they cry out, it's too late.
That's a good point, Pam. I want to ask this next question to targeted to Minister Christian, Nikki, and then Ronnie. Anna mentioned something about that gospel music it's imperative for us as Christians to listen to gospel music. Now, my question to you guys is all gospel music true godly music? Or is it a component or an element of gospel music a small part of the larger corrupted music industry? The reason why I say this is because all the music labels are mostly owned by, we know, worldly organizations that have a branch of gospel music attached to it to make extra revenue. But the gospel artists still have to filter their labels and their music through these larger organizations, which are, we know, are ungodly. So, Ronnie, I'm going to pose that question to you first.
Well, what you said is true, you know, and you got to look at it for what it is. You know, if we look at the scriptures, you know, we're called to, you know, sing a new song to the Father. We're called to keep hymns and you know, minister to each other with songs about the Father. We got the Psalms, and we got other books where we can pull, you know, lines that are about praising God for who he is and what he's done in our lives. But then, like you say, you know, you have your contemporary Christian corporate markets that are owned by Sony, that are owned by Capitol Records, that are owned by Interscope Records, all these things, they, you know, if they belong to Satan and you're trying to put Jesus through it or the good news through it, it's already nullified. And so the thing about the body of Christ, what we need to realize is that just like Daniel, we're called to do things 10 times better than those in the world can even imagine to do them because we got God with us. But we have leaders in the body of Christ that they're not opening their own record labels. They're going to Sony. They're not opening their own movie channels. They're going through the world. And so, you know, how blessed can it be if it's coming from the devil? You know, that's just straight up. Yeah, they got an opportunity and a platform, but if it's hollow, then it's not serving nobody any purpose. But the sad part is humans can get used to anything, and humans can defend anything. And so, you know, if the body of Christ is all for it, then they'll keep doing it, and, you know, they'll be content with that. But the truth of the matter is if Marilyn Manson mm-hmm. is on the same record label as Kurt Franklin, you know, how can that be when the Bible says we're called to be separate? We're called to come away from them. We're called not to partake and not sit at their table. And no, that's not how you save souls. You don't save the world by trying to be like the world, because the Bible says you're a lamp and a light, and you don't put a lamp and a light under a bed. You let it shine brightly, meaning you be bold. You don't need to fit in, and you don't need to get the crumbs on their table. But until the leaders start to do that, those that follow Kurt Franklin, those that follow these other popular Christian artists are going to go the same route as them, and they're going through the world to get their fame. And so, you know, the gospel music that you can trust is the gospel music that you make. Remember, gospel means good news. So if you proclaim the good news, you don't need nobody's song that goes through the rituals and all that as the rest of the secular music goes through. When they take B.B. and C.C. Winans' music, they pray over it to cast spells over it just with the rest of the rap music. So it's like, what are you really getting? It's just what you want. And so, yeah, if you want to music that you can trust is mostly independent, but, you know, we need to support our independent artists. And music that you can trust is music coming out of your own church, with people that you know. You don't need a celebrity artist for it to be moving or whatever, because if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, no matter what song you're listening to, it's not coming that way. And so, yeah, the best gospel, remember, gospel means good news. Let's not get lost. Gospel only means good news. So any good news music, let it come from you first before it comes from, you know, Dietrich Hattons and all these celebrities. They can't handle celebrity. They're not supposed to be celebrity. That's why they can't handle it. And so if it's coming from Sony and all that, it's just as demonic as an Eminem record.
Okay, Ronnie, guys, you heard it on the show. Ronnie Ambrose is live. He's hype. And I like your comment, man. You said that the gospel means good news. And that's true. Minister Kristen, what do you have to say about that?
I think one thing that we have to recognize with music, I think we are, when you're singing a song or even doing, artists are even noting that they're calling themselves worship leaders. You know, we have to remember a lot of people are not going to go to church. Let's be honest. Unfortunately, the church has a bad rap with the world, which is supposed to, but not from the flip side, amen. So with that being said, we have to understand that there is good music and there is bad gospel music because, again, out of your heart flows the issues of life. And the one thing that the enemy is doing an amazing job of replicating is the fact that people are not going to church, and where you spend your time is where your heart is. So we have to recognize that the enemy knows and understands that the music that we listen to, in fact, brings forth a form of worship. So I think for people that are listening to gospel, they need to also identify the lifestyle that the person that you're listening to, not just involving the record company or the label they're under, but also the type of lifestyle that they lead. I think that one thing that we also need to do for those that are psalmists and those that are ministers of music, we need to be praying for them that their hearts truly be submitted unto God. As you noted, that a spirit was expelled from a person when David played. So it's the same thing. I've seen it where people have sung and that were angry or going through divorces, and all of a sudden the audience was upset. You know, so it's important that we really pray about those that are in these industries and ask that God cover them and even lead their hearts back to, as the man of God mentioned, the good news, you know, what it's supposed to and has supposed to been about. I do not believe that you cannot be successful in the industry. I don't believe that. But, again, I think it's important because of the fact that, as the woman, Pam's daughter said, music can go either way. So, again, we need to examine ourselves when it comes to that.
Okay, good comment. Nikki, what's your take on that comment that I made about the gospel music?
Well, I kind of made mention about it earlier in my comment that, you know, there's a difference between Christian and gospel music because of that, that the gospel means the good news. And but I agree wholeheartedly with everything that Ronnie said, and I would just be reiterating. But he knocked it out the park. You know, ask me first next time.
Right.
I keep getting all the good ideas, making all the good statements. That's my comment.
Absolutely. And real quick, I want to get back to Anna. Anna, what do you think about the comments of what was being said about gospel music?
I mean, I would just say that it is true that there probably are people in the industry that produce gospel who are going to these record companies, these major record companies, and they're probably even, like, you know, Ronnie said, putting spells on the music and doing all that. But to me, it's kind of pointless for me in my situation because, like I said, you know the difference between gospel music and worldly music. And just by experience, you know what gospel music can do to you spiritually versus what worldly music can do. Now, I'm not saying that all gospel music is good because, you know, some of the songs Kirk Franklin come out with, they're not anointed. You know what I'm saying? And that's to anyone who, you know, has songs that are not anointed. But overall, me listening to gospel music versus worldly music, there are majority, or to me, 80% of the songs that are anointed. And I think it's just a matter of us Christians and where we are spiritually. If you have the Holy Spirit, you know that when you're trying to be edified or if you're listening to a gospel song, you're going to know in your spirit whether it was anointed or not based off what it does for you spiritually. So, and it's just all about us being real with each other. Never mind what they're doing, because everybody can't produce music. Everybody can't come out with their music or, you know, yeah, we can go to church and listen to music, but everybody doesn't have the opportunity for their music to be played worldwide. I mean, they do, but not on the levels of these artists that have already been in the game. So we do listen to them. Let's just be real with each other. We're going to listen to music regardless of where it comes from. Even if it's worldly, we're going to listen to whatever's popular. And you have you can choose not to, and you can choose to listen to that and to independent artists. But at the end of the day, when it comes down to gospel versus worldly, no matter where it comes from, we have the Holy Spirit to discern whether it's anointed or whether it helps us in our walk. You know, when I listen to Break Every Chain, I mean, I don't know if that woman is on a major record label, but it doesn't matter because I know that song is powerful. And I know this because my cousin came down here from Sacramento and visited us for New Year's, and he's a homosexual. And I mean deep in it, deep in the whole spirituality of just yoga types. He's just far out in it. And I was just like, you know what? And he does music. And we played that song. We played that song in the car, blasting it. And he was so ministered by that song because he's been through so much that I know it blessed him to the fact that when we took him to church, he went up for prayer. And you could tell the Spirit didn't want him to, but he did. And he kept asking me, what's that song, Break Every Chain, because he's been through so much, molested, everything. And I know, you know, we just have to take it for what it is. And at the same time, if you know a song, and I had to be real with myself one day because I was in the car with my mom, And there was a song that I wanted to hear, but I was kind of more in my flesh, and it was a gospel song. I just wanted to hear it and just bob my head and just have a good time in the Lord, versus she wanted to hear a song that was anointed. And it was, you know, upbeat and uplifting, but it was more anointed, the words that it was talking about. And she checked me. She was like, no, I don't want to hear that. That's not anointed. But honestly, I had to be real within myself. Like, you know what, Anna? She's right. She's right. So we can get all into the facts of where the music's come from, this, that. But I feel like if the music is uplifting you in your walk in Christ, you never know who God is using. You know what I'm saying? It says in the Bible he'll use your enemies as your footstool. So I think we just have to really use the Holy Spirit when it comes to listening to music and be honest with yourself. Is this helping you get closer to God? Or are you just thinking about partying in a godly sense? You know what I'm saying? So that's my take on it.
That's a good comment, Anna. Good point. Well, guys, if you're tuning in for the first time, we're talking about the increase of Satanist worshiping in the music industry. And the number to call us is 347-945-7310. The number again is 347-945-7310. Well, guys, we talked about gospel music, and we mentioned just a minute ago whether or not it is actually true gospel music ordained by God, or is it part of a larger industry that's being corrupted by Satan and worldly, ungodly folks. Well, I want to take it a step further, and I want to talk about, well, let me just say this, especially when it comes to gospel music, a lot of the gospel artists are out there. We may not be able to know if their music is truly godly or it's just part of like Wani was mentioning, that there's Scientist Sony, which is, you know, it has a spell over it, which is not the gospel, but it's another spell. And then we know blatantly, like, the people like Kanye West. And I want to talk about hand signs and symbology. Now, I want to talk about this horned goat sign that people are throwing up now, and it's called the Baphomet, which is a Luciferian god worship by high-level Freemasons. And it's a hand sign that notates the devil's goat horns, and it's Masonic, and pretty much it's used by politicians. I've seen military people use it, entertainers, actors, people in the higher echelon of society have been using this sign for decades. And this sign, its origin is the horned goat, the goat of Mendes, a city of ancient Egypt where fertility worship, Baal worship, was practiced. Masons admit readily that the Baphomet is a pagan fertility god, and more importantly, that Freemasonry is a fertility cult religion. At any rate, this mockery of Jesus is a satanic symbol and figures prominently in Satan worship. And it's used by witches as well. It's a Satanist way of blatantly mocking God as Christ as a lamb who died for our sins. Now, again, I've seen Mary throw up the sign. I've seen Kanye West and many more. Ronnie, what do you have to say about that? If these are gospel artists, why would they be throwing up the sign, which clearly pledges allegiance to satanic worship?
Well, okay, let's look at it both ways. You know, maybe they were caught in the moment, and or it's just a coincidence. But if it's not a coincidence, if it's not, and I mean, and it could be, you know, hey, you know, it could be. But if it's not, you got to remember, a lot of these people are fraternal, you know, and once you reach a certain level, you know, you get invited, you get exposed to certain things, and you want to stay in the inner circle, and some people will do whatever it takes, even if it's leading a double life. But like you said, see, what I don't want to do, because, you know, we could spend time on that all day. But I would like for whoever's listening, you know, if they're wondering, well, what's Illuminati and what's Freemasonry and this and this and that, well, let's just simplify it by saying that whether it be Eastern mysticism, whether it be Illuminati, which only means illumination. So if you've ever been watching cartoons and you see, you know, Tom and Jerry, and Tom, I think Tom's the cat, and he gets this great idea and a light bulb pops up over his head, that means he's illuminated and he's got this great idea, or he's bright. And so it just means to be in the know or to be aware or to see in the darkness meaning, you know, some people aren't aware of history and you know, certain deities. And so if they don't know it and you do, you got the one up on them. And so, okay, great, that's fine. Whether it be the Illuminati, the Masonry, any occultic, anything, you got to remember that it only serves the enemy's purpose to distract God's creation from ever accepting eternal life. And so no matter what package it comes in, let's remember that all it's doing is offering what Satan offered in Genesis 3:5 when he said, if you eat this fruit, your eyes will be open, meaning you'll be illuminated, and you'll be as God. And that's what a lot of these people want to be considered to be, as God. A lot of people play with the halo on their heads and all this and that. And so just to kill all the confusion, we just want to know that whether it be politics, whether it be your local government, whether it be your fraternities in your high school, in your colleges, whether it be your Masonic lodge in your neighborhood, all these people want what the devil had to offer them. And since the devil is the god of this world, you know, more things are satanic than you would think. There's a lot of things that we are used to or we feel that they're harmless, but we got to remember if they're not for Christ, they're against Christ. And, you know, as far as the occultic symbols and all this and that, you know, it all serves the same thing. These people want to be the light bearers. They want to be, if you look into the Masonic order, which comes from Eastern mysticism, which comes from, you know, things practiced in Babylon and in the Bible, Baal and Ashtaroth. If you look at those things, there's a book that they give their members, and the first thing you see is, we see his star in the east, and we come to worship him. And then, you know, if you read your Bible, you know, oh, that's what the wise men said. Well, the wise men are known as magi. And we know that these wise men, they didn't represent people that were just under Christ, but they represented people that could foresee. And this is the ability that they want to have. And so some of these artists fall for it, and some of these, like you said, people in the upper crust jobs and stuff like that, they fall for it. Like, you know, police is like the whole police force is fraternal, you know, and they have an order for that. And so the thing is, all it is trying to set up a hierarchy to distract those that are in it from humbling themselves to the good news, which is the gospel, and it's reaching everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. When you're starting in your college, when you enter that fraternity, it's preparing you to become a Freemason. And if you're a Freemason, you have to worship either Osiris or one of these deities that represent Baal. And it takes you right back to, this simplified, it takes you right back to worshiping a false god, which is devil worship, which will keep you from using your free will to accept Christ and replace, you know, the gift of eternal life with, you know, success in this world that won't get you nothing but hell.
Absolutely. Well, guys, you know, we're definitely talking about the increase of Satanism in the music industry, and there is a blatant increase of the use of these hand signs that we just mentioned about, and not only hand signs, but also clothing. You're seeing the Baphomet symbols and the all-seeing eye as a fashion symbol on a lot of, like, Rockaware and some of the other clothing lines. Now, Anna, as a young person, what do you notice the increase of hand gestures in when you look at certain artists and also the clothing today? What's your take on that?
Well, I definitely think it's prevalent, and I think as far as a hand sign, I mean, I know what it means, and I know that it's part of the whole satanic, you know, whatever you want to call it, and I know everything that Ronnie was saying, that's what it has to do with. But I try not to, like, dwell so much on the fact that it's worldly people doing what they would do. Like, they're basically representing what they are. So I don't look at them like, you know, I think it's very unfortunate for people like Mary to do it. But then again, I don't know why they're doing it. You know what I'm saying? Either they're trying to just fit in, or either they were caught in the moment and just threw it up, or, you know, I don't know. So, but I try not to dwell so much on the fact that they're doing that, because, once again, they're not saved. So, I mean, they're just doing what they do. Like, who cares what they're doing? We should start our own movement
you know, and in our pictures throw up something that represents God, or we should, you know what I'm saying? It's like when you dwell on it so much, you just give so much power to the fact, like, every time you see a TV show or every time you see a magazine picture, oh, they're throwing up the Baphomet, but they're not saved and they're in the industry. So what do you expect? They basically sold their souls. Even if they didn't practice a ritual, they sold their souls in a sense that they wanted power and fame, so they're into that culture and what that culture does. So I don't put too much on people who are not saved. Now, if you're so-called godly and are teaching the gospel or preaching or singing, whatever it is, then, yeah, we're going to look at you like, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, they're around those people, like Ronnie said, so they getting caught up in that, and we have to pray for those people. But for the fashion, I think it's so sad. Every store, every mall store, wherever I walk in, everything has to be the earrings, pyramid, necklaces, pyramid, upside-down crosses. Like, it's just, you cannot buy anything cute. Or just, you know, something that just regularly represents you unless it has those symbols. And I think that's sad because there's sometimes stuff and then you're caught up against, well, should I get it? These earrings are really cute. Should I get them or should I not get them? You know what I'm saying? Because you know in your heart what it represents, even though you just don't want to give that much power to it. And so it's just kind of like a back and forth thing. But as far as the Baphomet, they're just doing what they do. That's what they represent. So what are we going to do to show how we represent in our culture as young people? What are we going to do? Are we going to just keep talking about it? They're not saved. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to spread the good news, the gospel. So that's my comment. Well, guys, listen, we're running out of time here, and we're definitely going to do part two next week. I've got so much information that I haven't been able to share, but I got a lot of information, some really juicy information, delicious information that I think is really going to blow your socks off. So I want to go back in line. I want to thank all our calls for coming on the show today, and I want to go in order, and I want to start with you, Ronnie. Ronnie, thanks for you had some very powerful points. Man, you had some good points today, Ronnie. So I wanted to thank you for coming on the show tonight, and what's your closing comments?
Well, I thank you, and, you know, it's always a pleasure. My closing comments is just to, you know, study, you know, if you're saved, you know, I pray that God gives you discernment to know the difference between good and evil. And, you know, the scripture's clear about it's not for you to partake in the things of the world. And so just take the Bible seriously, and you're not really missing out on anything if you're pleasing God.
Wow, again. Now, Juan, are you going to be back for next week, part two?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Okay, absolutely. Minister Christian, real quick, what's your closing comments?
Just know them by their fruits. Pay attention to the artists that you're listening to and know that their fruit is not just, I mean, as far as money, you know, look at their heart. So just to be observant, as Ronnie said, and, you know, just be wise and have discernment.
Absolutely. And Pam, thanks for coming on the show today. And Pam, real quick, what's your closing comments?
Thank you again for having me, Raz. And I would just say, all those that are listening and those of us are encouraging each other is to be aware of compromise, because that is one of the first stages of giving in to other persuasions and beliefs and desires, and to not allow yourself to be conformed to, you know, the wrong standards. You know, those are my closing comments.
Absolutely. Nikki, thanks for coming to the show. What do you think of today's show?
I think it was cool. My closing comment would be, if you want to get a little bit more knowledge on what we're talking about for the listeners, I would definitely say check out G. Craig Lewis at EX Ministries, all lowercase, and you'll kind of get a deeper insight of what we're talking about. And those are my comments.
Absolutely. And I want to give a shout-out to our guest, Anna. Anna, what are your closing comments for today's show?
This is a cool little show. I definitely enjoyed myself in the talk on the different topics that we had, and I look forward to hearing the next one coming up. And thanks for having me.
You got it, Anna. Well, guys, thanks a lot for tuning in. Tune in same time next week for Can We Talk Radio at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. The number to call us is 347-945-310. Have a blessed weekend. Peace.
We ride on 24. You ain't never seen a church boy riding with the top down swerving. Everybody see me bend the curve. Every whip on 24s. Every crib got 50 doors. Don't get nervous. Paying top finally paid off. You ain't never seen a church boy riding with the top down swerving. Everybody see me bend the curve. Every whip on 24s. Every crib got 50 doors. Don't get nervous. Paying top finally paid off. We ride on 24. We let them people know. Can't keep that name on low. Deep in switching lanes. Both me and their rest of names. Real don't play no games. See someone on the chain. Standing and riding high. String Jesus when I'm riding low. Where you gonna be when you die? I'ma be in the sky. We ride on 24. Don't have to sell no drugs. Music to get that flow. Be gospel to the pole. Cadillac on 24. Maybach on 24. Bentley coupe on 24. Share the hoop on 24. Then I give away. Why cause God say give away? But the more I give away, I got more coming back to me. You give you plenty more. Get the crib with plenty doors. Stacked up with plenty flow. Don't forget to thank the Lord.